You're listening to SBS News.
For former international student Hashwina Vimalarajan, living through the pandemic in Melbourne has had its challenges. One of them has been racism. Born in India, raised in the Middle East, and now calling Melbourne her home, the environmental scientist says the pandemic has forced her to modify her behaviour to reduce the risk of experiencing racism.
Just before stage four lockdown, I was in a tram. I think when I got off the tram, the person just kind of screamed at me and asked me to give them space and not be in their face, which was weird because there was complete and total distance between us, and I was headed in a different direction and they were headed in a different direction. It took me a while to kind of just process that as well. And this made me even more hypervigilant in public, because as a woman, I am quite vigilant whenever I step out, and I am conscious of my surroundings. But more and more now, I do get very scared to sneeze or cough in fear that they might rebuke with a racist remark or blame me for something. And that's basically what's happened because of all of this.
That experience is one of many documented in a new report on the high prevalence of racism experienced by young Victorians from a multicultural background. At least one incident of direct racism was reported by 85% of young migrants. 32% reported more than six instances. The Victorian not-for-profit Centre for Multicultural Youth conducted the survey of 376 youths aged between 16 and 25 in June during Melbourne's Stage 3 lockdown. Report co-author Naomi Priest from the Australian National University says the report found some migrants were more at risk of being targeted.
Really profound levels of racism being reported by the young people in this survey, particularly those from first generation backgrounds, so born overseas and who then migrated to Australia, and for women, for those who are female. And that was both direct experiences where young people themselves are the targets of racism, but also witnessing racism, whether it's online or over social media, in the media, very, very high levels. And also quite high levels of what we call hypervigilance. So that's young people saying that they were changing their behaviour before they went outside to minimise their risk of actually experiencing racism.
The report found that despite the high prevalence of racism experienced by young Victorians from a migrant background, there's a reluctance to talk about it. Less than one in three survey participants talked with friends or family. 50% ignored the experience altogether, and only 6% decided to report the incident. Ms. Vimalarajan says she chose not to report the episodes of racism that happened to her because of a fear for personal safety and a lack of knowledge of how to report the incident. She says she's deciding to speak up now after speaking to friends who shared similar experiences of racism.
For far too long, I've been very quiet. I think growing up, I've experienced different types of racism from people within my own community, my own society, and being a woman of colour, but always kind of automatically silence myself to fit into spaces at this time where the discussion and the opportunity is given to have our voices heard. It's finally time that I speak up and bring at least my story to the forefront, if that helps people or if people can empathize with it or relate to it anyways. I hope other people are encouraged to come forward with their stories.
Tim Lacerdo founded the group Democracy in Colour 2 years ago to tackle racism through grassroots efforts. The Brisbane-born Chinese-Italian says he never expected to find himself in Melbourne in the midst of the pandemic, dealing with the increase in racism faced by migrants.
It ranges from very subtle things like people, you just know that people are keeping their distance, they're staying away from you, they might be staring at you for a bit longer. I've had a couple of people throw out some racial slurs directed towards me, and, you know, the classic things like go back to where you came from, or this is, you know, not your country, when I was born in Brisbane and have lived in Australia my entire life.
He says the surge in racism has prompted him to hold the first in a series of regular workshops to help bystanders understand their options when witnessing racial abuse. It follows other workshops he's run to equip migrants with skills to respond to racism.
There are multiple ways it can be, and often they're not what we expect, and they can be just as useful, like, for example, trying to distract from the situation of, you know, racial discrimination by asking questions to the person who's been harassed, or a delay tactic where after the racial, you know, abuse has happened, you're checking in with the person and you're asking how they're going, is there anything I can do to support, or a documentation tactic where you're documenting and, you know, you're recording the instance of racial abuse.
Ms. Vimala Rajan says she would also like to see more resources and information provided to international students upon their arrival in Australia.
Anti-racism training for universities to adapt. And that's the first place I would say, is because as a former international student myself, coming into this country, I was prepared to face a variety of situations. And Victoria really prides itself on its multiculturalness. But how does that translate into workplace institutions and educational institutions? We as international students are really not taught much about First Nations justice or Indigenous history. That's something that I've had to educate by myself.
Dr. Priest has called for more robust reporting mechanisms to make it easier for migrant youths to report racism. And she backs calls for a national strategy on anti-racism.
A key part of that is co-designing with young people, with communities, solutions to racism. But also we do need to have ongoing data. We know that what gets measured is what counts and continues to call systems and governments and different sectors to account. So I think we do need to be collecting data, but we also need to be co-designing solutions. We don't also just want to collect data. We want to be having policies and practices that really fund anti-racism programs in schools, within healthcare settings. How do we actually talk about race and racism, and building our racial literacy and our racism literacy?
And you can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.